My message that God laid on my heart is in the New Testament in the book of Romans, chapter 10. So if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. That'll be the main passage of the scripture, even though I'll be referring to other scriptures because the whole Bible is the word of God. But the main passage of scripture is going to be one verse. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the name of Jesus, oh my God, I thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you, Lord God, because every soul within the sound of my voice is precious. Each and every soul, you, Lord Jesus, including my own, you suffered, you died, you shed your precious blood for the remission, that's for the forgiveness of our sins, and now you give me the privilege and the opportunity to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, to expound, to uplift, to glorify, and to magnify thy name. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Your word says in the book of John, or 1 John, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So I invite thy Holy Spirit in his fullness, Lord God, to touch each and every heart, to touch each and every mind. Me, as I humble myself as the preacher teacher at this moment, and each and every one that would hear your word. If there's somebody within the sound of my voice, even on this night, not boasting ourselves of tomorrow, that does not know forgiveness of their sins, in other words, don't know you as their personal Lord God and Savior, you said, and I repeat, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. And if they are saved, Lord God, then I believe they'll love to hear this story repeated, as I love to tell it. And we give you the thanks and praise of whatever the needs, whatever the desire might be. If it's sickness, you are the great physician. You are Jehovah Rapha. If there's something that needs to be provided, you are Jehovah Jireh, God that provides. You are Jehovah Nisi, our banner. And you are the God that heals. So I want to thank you, Lord God, or I meant to say you are Jehovah Shalom, which is the God of peace. So if I just take a few moments in prayer, Lord God, because it's not about what I want, it's not about what I need, it's not about what I desire, Lord God, but it's about Jesus. And we give you the thanks and praise. Use me now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If I had to title this message, it would be contained, and I'm terrible at titles. Because you see, in the Word of God, I found the answer. If you remember, let's say, and I don't remember exactly what the message was about, but I can tell you what the title of my message was, let's say, 2-3 times ago. It was about Jesus. And then the time after that was about Cristo. And today, it's about Jesus Cristo. Jesus, because there's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. I always just about say to myself in my own personal prayer, and in this case before I come through those doors, I use the slang expression, I'm going to chill out. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to talk to you and say something like, let's say John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when I open the Bible, this is the word of God. I get excited. I want to cry out. I want to shout the name of Jesus. So if I had to title this message, it would be, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, men and women through time have made some great gospel hymns. And I love some of those hymns because they explain the word of God. Not that it needs explanation, but they parallel with the word of God. It can put you in a spiritual mood, and it can guide you through the scriptures. Think about this if you haven't thought about it already. The longest book in the Bible, Old or New Testament, is the book of Psalms. That'll show you how much it's important to God. Now, I think about this. I was thinking about it, well, when I woke up this morning before I even got out of the bed. And the hymn goes like this. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for I know that it is true. And it satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. That other song I love, and it identifies me, and I'm sure it identifies you. Not just that I love to tell a story, but it's like in my heart and my mind, it's like all of you are singing this to me. And the song goes, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Oh, my God. I get scared sometimes at home. Not scared, but I get excited. And I'll read the Bible. This is about Jesus. It's not about me. But see, it might be late, it might be early, it's quiet, and I'll look at something and I'll shout like now, Jesus! And see, when you got an unbelieving, lost and dying world, and I used to be that way too before I got saved, let's say something I don't see right here is hot, and I touch it, Jesus! That's using God's name wrongfully. But I get afraid when I'm at home that somebody's going to hear me and they're going to, you okay? You okay? We heard you shout Jesus. And they think I burned my hand or something like that. I do that because there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And don't let me give you the idea that you have to be able to, in order to love the Lord, let's say as I do, that you have to be able to shout it the way that I do. See, man, the Bible says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So if you can shout that in your heart, see, I don't shout it to show you I got this big voice, you know. I can say Jesus, but it's the way in my heart. Who's bigger than Jesus? He is the Son of God. I'll speak about myself. Not that I'm the best person, not that I'm the worst person, but I heard another man named Elder Hill say this, and I've always adopted that. He says, I'll talk about myself, that way nobody can get mad at me. And a lot of things that we preach as pastors, as preachers, as Sunday school teachers, as witnesses, is very simple. Is using the Bible, the Word of God, and telling other people what God told us. I got saved when I was in the military in Germany. And then I was talking to a person, I forget exactly who it was, but not that that makes a difference. And I was giving them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that here in a few minutes. And they said, wow. If I knew the Bible the way that you did, then I would either be saved or I could take a Bible and go tell others like you did. You did that so skillfully. I'm just guessing, but I couldn't have been saved but maybe about 3 months. But God says, do the work of an evangelist. And that's what evangelist does. They bring the good news of the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash us away from our sins. And God, by the fullness of his Holy Spirit, even in that early stage, gave me an unction. I remember one man I gave a tract to, and he was just, he wasn't even in the military, he was in college to study theology. And he asked me, you know, I gave him a tract called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. We were on the bus. I was going to witness to somebody in their home. An American guy, well, he was American too, and anyway, he looked at it and he says, I'm a theologian. I know, I've heard of that. I don't know what that is. He said, I study God. He says, I study theology. In English, excuse me, theo means God. Ology means study of. It's just like the English word biology. That's the study of life. In my heart, I said, uh-oh. He says, can you explain to me the Trinity? I said, at the time, well, I've heard of that word before. I know that tri means three. And I said, sir, I don't know that much about that. You need to come to my church. You need to ask my pastor. He told me words to the effect, you are going to go around giving out these things, these tracts, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And he's luring to the fact that he studied. He's going to college. And you don't know what the Trinity is. He said, I don't believe there's a biblical basis for the Trinity. At the time, I said, well, sir, as I said, I can't explain that to you. But this I know, and I know I was saying this by the Holy Spirit. If you will take that tract that I gave to you. And you said you're a theologian. And if you'll read it, and in this particular track, all the direct Bible verses were in red letters, the rest was in black. And if you'll go by just the red letters in that track, it'll tell you God's way of salvation. And he just shrugged his shoulders and looked at me. The point I'm bringing that testimony up for is that our verse here says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. After I was saved for a while, I got, and especially when I got back to the United States, around my old haunts, around my old friends, around my old family, Satan was dealing with me. Don't get me wrong, he was dealing with me before then. But he was dealing with me saying, family is not going to want to hear what you got to say. Friends used to drink and smoke with and party with and all this stuff. They are going to tell you, and I had at one time a person, and I'll say it because she's not here, my own mother. She told me, she said, I birthed you into this world. And you didn't always have that Bible in your hand. She said, you don't tell me what to do. Now, remember, my mother's saved now. But then she said, you don't tell me what to do. And I had my two daughters with me. I was very embarrassed. And I said, Ma, I'm never going to give up because you need to get saved. I thought about this, where Jesus said, whoso loveth mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. I realized a time after that, that even though I wouldn't have put it in those words, I was ashamed. I'd see people on the bus. I'd see people at work. I used to work in the ACI. I used to work as a prison guard. I would see other officers. We had a lot of what you might call downtime, where we sit or we stand, walk around a little bit. But it wasn't a physical type job. That's where a lot of us, we might go in there and start out slender and come out with big bellies. Wasn't a lot of exercise being done. But I would sit and I would say, we'd have, a new officer. Other people knew me as a Christian, didn't want to hear it. And a new officer, and I say, I need to tell them about Jesus. We got an hour or so, we're going to be sitting here in a booth together. I need to tell them about Jesus. Then there was times I'd say, well, we're at work, and you know, they are not, I'm sure they're not going to want to hear it, or they heard it before and rejected. If they had accepted, then they would have probably told me that they were a Christian. I realized that I was ashamed. Then the Lord spoke to me with a verse, and he said this, and I quote, whoso deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father that's in heaven. It's in the Bible. He said, whoso confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. I said, oh my God, how many times have I denied you? I need to catch up so that I've confessed you more than denied you. One of the most famous conversions, I put it, that I've had was my father. It took over 10 years. Of course, I didn't talk to him about Christ every day or anything, but from the beginning, as I estimated, it took over 10 years. But that was my father. I wasn't going to give up on him. I did not want to see my dad go to hell. If I prayed every day, I probably prayed for him every day over 10 years. But I didn't want to see my dad. Long story short, is another word of testimony. My pastor, Pastor Donald Preston, was going to the Philippines to marry his Filipino wife. While he was gone, and I was his assistant pastor on Elmwood Avenue in Providence, he gave me the church. It was Father's Day. I asked my dad, "What would you like for Father's Day as a gift?" He answered me and said, "I know what you would want." I smiled and I said, "Okay, Dad, what is it I would want?" He says, "You want me to come to church." I said, "Not just Father's Day, but any day I'd like for you to come to church." Anyway, to keep it short and to get into our message more so, he came to church. Now, he had prostate cancer. But he came to church. I had told him when we were in the emergency room before that, I said, "Dad, it's been a long time, and I've been telling you about Jesus Christ, so I'm not going to tell you about Jesus Christ again. You already know." But I says, "When you are ready, you come to me and you say, 'Son, I am ready.'" So he sat in the front pew. It was only a few of us there, not as many people as here in church that day. And I preached a message. The message really didn't have a title, but it had a phrase. And that phrase said, "If you have given your wife and children," and it was 12 of us. I was the second of 12. "But if you have given your wife and children everything that you could possibly give them, but you haven't given them Jesus Christ, then you aren't worth 2 cents to God." When I first laid on my heart, I said, "God, you says to honor your father and mother. I can't preach that." But the very first day in Germany that I preached, I was sweating. I was nervous. I had 20 minutes. I got up there and forgot everything. I didn't know what to say. And then words came to me, not in a voice, but as a thought. I had to push my Bible to the side because I was sweating so bad, I was wetting the pages. And I looked out at the people and I said, "I preach to please no man save the God man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I'll never forget that. God reminded me of those words when I said, "I can't preach that to my dad." He said, "Your dad is a man." And when I finished preaching that message, he was sitting there and he was wringing his hands and he was looking over here and looking over there. My mother's sitting next to him and she said, "Leon," I'm Leon Jr. She said, "Leon, what's the matter?" And I heard her and I looked up and he was like right here to me. And I said, "Dad, are you ready?" He said, "Yes, I am ready." He came forward and he accepted Jesus Christ. How can I not love the name of Jesus? Jesus! Look at what the Apostle Paul said here. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire," it's like saying, "This is what I want," and prayer to God. He prayed to God for Israel, God's earthly chosen people. that they might be saved. Now you might automatically think, hold it, these are the people that God chose, and even if it's a leftover, a small part, a remnant, why would Paul be praying for them that they might be saved? You remember what I said about my dad over 10 years? I prayed for him that he might be saved. Over 10 years, that's from the first time I got back to the United States from Germany and preached the gospel to him. I was an assistant pastor, and he never set foot in church. We had church in my house, and we had church in Pastor Preston's house. 1 month in my house, 1 month in Pastor Preston's house. So he had the comfort of family, couches, and all these things. Over 10 years, he wouldn't come to church. Paul says here, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. That's like saying they were very religious. They might sit in church, amen, amen, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But not according to knowledge. Who is it? What is it? How is it that you have the knowledge of God? Sometimes now I read the Bible, I know the answer, but I like to ask God. We need to ask God things. And that's why I can preach it now. I've asked God, I'm saying, who is it? How is it? What is it? Jesus answered me. I know it was him because it went according to his word. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So I said, Jesus, how do I know? How do I gain this knowledge? He answered me and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you say, how do I know that that's the exact words that Jesus said? Look it up in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. He told me in that same chapter, he said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't be confused. Don't be upset. Don't overthink it. I said, okay, Lord, what has that got to do? And he said, you got to do two things. Okay, that sounds simple enough. What do I have to do? He said, number one, you have to believe in God. Okay, what else do I have to do? He said, you have to believe also in me. Yeah, I told you, I love to tell a story. You heard me say it before, you'll hear me say it now, and God willing, you'll hear me say it again. Because the whole Bible is about Jesus. It's about Jesus Christ. There's none other name given under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. See, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, not according to knowing him, not according to the word of God. Do you know God's word says this? Wherefore? It says it in this book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that man's name was Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. We're in the world right now. And death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We even as Christians say, I got to do this for God. I got to do that for God. I got to do this for God. But you think about this. I thought about this. If God is God, and of course he is, then what can you do for him? Jesus paid it all. When Jesus was baptized, the Father from heaven, the Bible says a voice came from heaven, and the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you want to be right with God, you got to deal with who pleases God. In the same book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23, the Word of God says this: "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God," and you know, a gift is given to you, "the gift of God is eternal life," not death. See, if we believe that, if we accept that Jesus, he's the one that died in your place. By believing that, by accepting him. Another song, excuse me, goes, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" Some of you might be saying, "Boy, Brother Leon, you are breaking it down real simple." I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It is that simple. Some people won't get saved because they say it's not that easy. It's not that simple. See, but you got to be careful thinking that or saying that, because you're calling God a liar, because I'm quoting Jesus Christ. He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said these words. I can give you the references, but he said these words to him. Matter of fact, it's in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, if I remember right. "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, to him it is counted for righteousness." Look at verse 4 in our text. Or should finish verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Let me explain that verse and make it short. Religion comes under a broad statement, but let me give you a short definition of what religion is. Religion is man's way of serving God. And they're sincere. They want to be right. They want to serve God. But God said all our righteousness, in other words, all our religion, are as filthy rags. It can come under the name of Baptist. It can come under the name of Catholic. It can come under the name of Jehovah's Witness. You know, and I'm not saying they're all the same. Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, whatever it might be. But it's Muslims. But it's man's way of serving God. The Bible, particularly the King James Version. I've heard some great preachers on the internet, and you know what they call this? They call this the old King James. Oh, yeah? Well, actually, that's a proper name for it. Because you know what one of the names of God is? the Ancient of Days. Amen. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Religion is man's way of serving God. The Bible is God's way of serving God. And somebody might say, well, I thought you said Jesus Christ. I did. But if you look in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And that word is a pronoun. It has a capital W. That means it's a particular person, place, or thing. It's a name. Now, and I quote, as it is written, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But see, I'm not changing it if I put it this way, instead of saying the Word, in the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. And you might say, wow, Brother Leon, you're pretty smart. How did you figure that out? Everybody that's laughing, they've done it. So they know how I didn't figure it out. Because in that same book of John, chapter 1, verse 14 says this, and I quote, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christo. Jesus! Woo! Well, let me get started. Verse 4, for Christ is the end. I'm going to say that again. For Christ is the end. You know what Jesus said just before he died on the cross? He said, it is finished. Kind of like he said, it has ended. He said, I have finished my course. I have done everything that the Father has assigned me to do. In order to wash away sins, past, present, and future. One man had asked, he wasn't me, but he had asked. He says, so what happens if I get saved, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, God, and Savior, and I sin after I got saved? Maybe some of the same sins before I did before that. The other man asked him, he said, so let me see if I got this right. You're saying, what if you get saved and you sin in the future? He says, yeah. Is Jesus going to cover that? He said, how old are you? The man at the time, I think they said he was 80-something years old. He said, when Christ died for your sins, that was 2,000 years ago. So guess what? Not only you, but all your sins was in the future. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Look what it says in our same Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, yeah, they probably would be saved. That's not what the Word of God says. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've used that to try to get somebody saved, and they said, yeah, but Brother Leon, you don't know my skeletons in the closet. You don't know what I've done and maybe what I'm going to do. I said, God knows. I think about it. What's the worst thing that you've ever done? Now, don't tell me, but I said, think about it. Open that closet and pull the biggest skeleton you can out of there. And they'd say, okay. I said, you thinking it right now? Said, yep. I says, now, look at your Bible. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're holding that skeleton, but the word of God doesn't change. Jesus paid it all. It's all to him we owe. You couldn't do nothing in order to get saved. The Bible says this, not by works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. If you could do something to get saved, then why did God have his son to die on the cross that day? Because he was bored, he had nothing else to do. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I could shout that until my throat gets sore, and I still wouldn't be doing it justice. For Christ is the end, in verse 4, of the law for righteousness in everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith. And let me stop there for just a minute. You know where we get faith? I used to ask that to myself. I said, these things takes faith. That's something you haven't seen, but something you believe. But I said, God, how much faith? I don't think I have enough faith in Christ that'll be saved or whatever it might be. God answered me. You might be saying to yourself, come on, I had that same question, Brother Leon. What did God tell you? I'm not going to tell you what he said. I'm going to let you see it. Look in the same chapter that we're in, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, you got to have you one of these. If you hear what it says, then you have the faith. God's word says if we have faith as much as a grain of mustard seed. If you had a grain of mustard seed in your hand right now, you might even not feel it. You might not even see it. Let's say your eye itched and you scratched it. Probably got in your eye. You say, oh, I got something in my eye. But that's as small of faith as it is. But God's word says it's mountain moving faith. There ain't nothing you can say. There ain't nothing that you can do. Why do you think God had his son to die on the cross? That's something to shout about. That's something to tell your mother about. That's something to tell your father about. That's something to tell your neighbor about. That's something to tell your sister about. That's something to tell your brother about. That's something to tell everybody. A man had this saying, and I've adopted it as my own. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. Now, I could say it, and it wouldn't make a difference. I can say, Jesus. God hears that. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. But I love to say, Jesus, because he is the Son of God. But the right verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, which means don't say in your mind, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach. If I changed that instead of saying the gospel, I wouldn't be changing the meaning, which says is what we preach. I want to say I led more people to Christ with this verse, but I don't know that. That I might be actually lying. But I've always used this verse through tracts, in prayer, and especially face to face. Not just saying preaching, but I'm talking about sitting in somebody's home, at their dining room, their kitchen table, on their couch. Give them a tract, so if they didn't want to hear it, okay, then and it can be a chick tract or whatever, if they didn't want to hear it, so I at least gave them the gospel. But if they'd sit down and give me time, look at what it says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou, and that simply means you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Not would be, not could be, but you shall be saved. And why God put it that way, see, some people, and I've had this, they've actually told me, excuse me, sir, but words that affect a football game is going to come on in a few minutes. So what is it you would like for me to say? I said nothing. Hold it, you did all the shouting, you did all the showing and all this, and you don't want me to say nothing? I know it's not that. You just asked me, what is it I want you to say? It doesn't say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Brother Leon. It's talking about Jesus. I never shouted. I never presented myself to you, sir or ma'am. I presented the word of God. I'm a Baptist by faith, but I didn't come in here telling you how to be a Baptist, because that won't save you. The blood of Jesus, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, because it washes white as snow. The word heart in the Bible is synonymous with mind. And shalt believe in thine heart. In other words, to put it simple, you're not saying that to get rid of me. You're not saying that because the football game is coming on. You're saying it. You might not fully understand it. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't fully understand it, but I believed it. I was saying these words, repeating in my case after this woman, because I believed. You know, when you first get saved, you don't have to understand salvation. You just have to believe. And you know something, I can tell by some of the amens, I can tell by some of the faces, some of you may have been saved a long time. But we sing a song that each and every time I hear it, I love to tell the story, I love to hear it again and again. It gives you assurance of your own salvation. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of salvation. I'm not trying to talk anybody into salvation. I'm just trying to give you the word of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I'd always end with this. Let's say I've showed these scriptures to the people, took them down what we call Romans Road, and they bowed their head and they followed me in a sinner's prayer of faith. And as far as their words, they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, God, and Savior. But what is the next step? See, God said man looks on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. Still, how do I know they didn't just say that because I led them in that prayer? So if they said, well, I got to go, I said, let me give you one more scripture, what we started with tonight. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My sister was in the hospital, Rhode Island Hospital. She had her third heart attack. She's a year younger than me. This was now probably about 3-4 years ago. Right now, I'm 69 years old. She called me and said, can you pick me up tomorrow? They've given me clear license. And she said, I can come home tomorrow. I said, do you know that she had one heart attack in her apartment when the rescue came? The rescue people was yelling to the driver in front, go faster. She's having another heart attack. And in life, that was her third heart attack. The doctor told her, not that it's about this, but she had to stop smoking because she was smoking herself to death. So even though, see, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'm sitting in my car. I'm talking to her on the phone. Yes, I will pick you up in this type of thing. But I said, you need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. She's made a profession of faith before, but she didn't bring forth fruits meet for repentance. So she listened, I gave her these verses, and I gave her the gospel again. And I told her, hey, Joanne, well, I shouldn't have actually said her name, but anyway. I said, but that is what I said. I said, Bible says, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I said, if you're saved right now, if you believe what you said, not to me or after me, but that God heard what you said and you are saved, I says, tell the doctor. Just say, I just got saved. Tell the nurses. Say, I just got saved. Tell the CNAs. Tell your bed partner in the other bed. But I said, most of all, when you get home, you tell mommy. She will almost turn cartwheels. She would love to hear that. And she said, fine. I said, it's a reason for whosoever shall, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I deliberately waited 2 weeks. I couldn't wait anymore. And I was talking to my mother, talk to her every day, tell her I love her every day. Somebody said, you tell your mother you love her every day. What's wrong with that? She changed my dirty diapers. She showed love for me every day. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. I said, Ma, did Joanne say anything different to you? I throw out her name again because I already said it. And she says, what do you mean? I says, you know, about God, about Jesus. I didn't want to lead her and this type of thing. I said, about salvation, about getting saved. And she said, she ain't said nothing like that to me. So, I don't know. I hope I'm wrong in saying this. But I don't believe she got saved. Said, why is that? God's word says, judge not that ye be not judged. You're doing the wrong thing. When somebody else, like God, has judged something, then if you agree with that, you're not judging. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Let's bow our heads. Oh my God, in the name of Jesus. I did the best that I know how to humble myself, Lord God. I know it might have not looked like that. It might have not sounded like that, but man looks on the outward appearance and you look on the heart. I feel like I've humbled myself, Lord God. I just wanted to uplift, to glorify, to magnify thy precious name. My God, it says in your word, and I wanted to do that, and I believe I was successful. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, you don't change my voice. You don't change my personality. You don't change my testimonies or anything. But it's thou that art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Lord God, I'm one heartbeat away from death, but you've allowed me these few moments, these precious souls. And my God, may we have an invitation and a time to where if someone doesn't know you, but they just learned, I can't tell them any more than I've said. I can't tell them any more than what you've said, even through me, even from the Bible, even from thy word, than they've been told already. If somebody walks out here doubting, if they weren't saved already and they walk out here doubting and they don't know and they're thinking about it, let them know that there's no middle ground. That they either accept or they reject Jesus Christ. The devil might tell them in their heart, who was this brother Leon that I should do what he said? I would question them. Did I tell them to do what I said? Or did I tell them to do what the word said, what Jesus said? Oh, my God, let them not make that mistake that I've made so many times in the past. That they'd come to know you as their Lord, their God and Savior, because you are Lord of Lords and you are King of Kings. We give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say, amen. Thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God to you.